Okay.
All right. Let me see. Oh, yes, I was talking to one of these pastors, one of these Jack Chick types. He has a preaching booth on 42nd Street. And he's an ex-Catholic. And he basically formed his own church. Formed his own little sect. And he basically gave me Jack Chick tracks, DVDs, et cetera, about why Catholicism is the whore of Babylon. And why the church is false. And basically Catholicism, according to him, comes from the Nimrod religion, or with some form of neo-paganism. So, one thing is, how would you refute someone like that? And second, I spoke to one of his people, and she basically told me I went to hell, and I basically told her you went to hell for, first of all, rejecting Catholic doctrine, second of all, you shouldn't even be preaching here, because you don't have a permit. So she basically went ballistic. So how would I be able to refute?
Well, if I were talking to someone like that, I would just focus on the fact that they reject what Jesus clearly taught. I mean, as far as addressing their nonsensical lies about this or that, it's really irrelevant to the simple fact that they totally reject the clear teaching that Jesus made St. Peter the first pope, that he taught that baptism is necessary for every man for salvation, confession, the Eucharist, etc., that they don't even have a Bible without the Catholic Church, that their church is man-made and not historical. I mean, so another thing I would say, this, like, I would ask them in particular what their claim is. Like, for instance, there were certain anti-Catholic Protestants and other sect members who say that, for instance, like the image of Mary with the child Jesus comes from like Babylonian religions and things like that, because, you know, there were statues like that in the past. Have you heard anything like that?
Yeah. There's a book that I read when I was in college. It's called The Babylonian Mystery Religion or something like that. It's one of these well-known anti-Catholic books written in the 19th century. And it quote-unquote exposes, quote-unquote, the pagan origins of Catholicism. And I read through some Novus Ordo publications that basically this guy is a phony. A lot of his information is basically false information about the faith and could be easily refuted by anybody who knows the material.
Well, what I would say to that is that if they're going to say that because certain things from pagan cultures, pre-Christian pagan cultures, correspond to statues of Our Lady or whatever, I would say on that basis they would have to reject Jesus as well, because many evil figures before the time of Christ and pagan religions actually had the idea of an incarnate God in flesh. For instance, like Alexander the Great, who basically conquered the known world before Christ, he actually thought that he was like half man, half God, and that basically he had a human mother, but was born of, I think it was Zeus. That's what he actually thought. Same thing with the pharaohs in Egypt. They actually thought that they were like the incarnations of God. And so that seems to sound like the Son of God becoming man. Obviously, it's not the same. But the point is that the devil will try to corrupt that and give false appearances and examples of that, basically to mock or distort or corrupt what will come as the true and authentic fulfillment of those things. So the fact that you have found things in pagan cultures which might correspond to, you know, images of a woman with child or things like that, well, you would have to reject Jesus on that basis as well, because you find things in pagan cultures which basically correspond to the concept or the idea of a man on earth as God. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just completely ridiculous and absurd.
So,
it's just stupidity. It's just utter stupidity. And with people who are really bent on that, it's going to be very difficult to convert them. And that's actually one of the reasons why it's difficult to convert a Protestant. If a Protestant is very opposed to devotion to Our Lady, if he's not neutral or indifferent, but he's very opposed to it, it's going to be tough, because obviously the graces that she would give are a major vehicle by which he would be getting the grace to see, you know, his errors and heresies. But so that's what I would say, and I think that that would sufficiently refute any point they would make from that. And then I would just shift back to the fact that they're not biblical Christians. They frankly reject the clear one church that Jesus Christ established. They totally reject what the earliest Christians believed about the Eucharist, you know, the hierarchy of the church, etc.
So would it be safe to get a King James Bible, or
for what reason?
Just basically for basically refuting the Protestant claims using their own weapon to put it in.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that at all. In fact, the Justification by Faith Alone audio we have on the website quotes totally and exclusively from that Bible to prove the point. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yes, I burned
yeah.
that on my, you know, one of my things.
Oh, okay.
I gave a friend of mine why the Bible says Peter was made the first pope.
Oh, okay.
On CD. This friend of mine, he used to be Catholic. Well, he was baptized and confirmed in Catholic Church. Then he became Jehovah's Witness. Now he basically refuted them as heretics.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking his way back into the church. And I basically told him that Vatican II messed up the church. Which is crazy. I mean, the new mass is not the real mass. And I'm just basically taking it little by little. So, would that be the best thing to do for the time being? Just to reintroduce some faith little by little? Or
I'm sorry, you were saying he's a Novus Ordo guy? And you told him about the new mass in Vatican II. I think you should just tell him all out. I mean, obviously that's a good place to start. It's something that most people are familiar with, this, you know, liturgy, and so it's an easy way of introducing that this is different from what was traditionally done, and this is a departure in Vatican II. But I think, you know, I wouldn't necessarily withhold anything from him if he's interested.
And I have some SSPX books in my house, and some stuff on the set of the contents position. And I just basically told them, this is what I'm doing. I'm researching about set of the contentsism, and I'm looking into it, listening to various debates online, listening to some stuff from CMRI, Dolan, etc., on the position set of the contentsism on CD. And so what I'm doing is basically just giving him whatever I have.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't recommend their stuff.
What? Why?
Dolan and them? They're heretics.
In what sense?
They deny the dogma outside the church there's no salvation.
Didn't you make a program about, yes. There's a program that you, made about Dolan, dissecting the speeches and, one of his sermons is basically dissecting them.
Yeah, I mean, he's an utter heretic. They all believe in that Buddhists and Jews can be saved. They're not even remotely believers. They're utter heretics.
And,
I mean, one can make the argument that they're like, I mean, they're obviously not as bad as, like, Benedict the 16th, but, you know, in certain ways, I mean, they're very similar. I mean, because they, if you believe that certain Jews and Buddhists can be saved, I don't see where, what would give them basically the certitude to say that, well, most of them are not saved. How could they say that? If they believe it's possible for some of them to be saved, and someone else said, well, couldn't I believe that most of them are in good faith? There's nothing they could say which would give them the certitude, or nothing that would give them the certitude to say that, no, you can only say it applies to a few people. If you say it applies to some of them, it could apply to most of them. So, yeah, they're horrible. They also defend natural family planning, that you can deliberately try to avoid children, can control, you know, the number of children you have. They absolutely hate the necessity of water baptism. In fact, this Father Tricata, who was in a discussion with a prominent non-sedevacantist, the prominent non-sedevacantist challenged him to produce three heresies in Vatican II, and he couldn't even name them. He couldn't even name three heresies in Vatican II. He said, I'll send you something. The reason for that is because most of the heresies in Vatican II and and with regard to the Vatican II Church, deal with the denial of outside the Church there is no salvation. Since they also believe that souls can be saved in false religions, it's difficult for them to enumerate many heresies.
Well, according to doctrine, doesn't it say that, you see, Pope Eugene IV, Council of Florence, doesn't it say that you basically have to be Catholic in order to be saved, period?
Yeah.
And, let me see, Unam Sanctam.
Well, yeah, we have a whole book on this. Have you seen it?
Outside the Church, there's absolutely no salvation.
Yeah.
I've seen segments of it.
But yeah, I would recommend getting it.
What I could do is just print it out online and print out segments online and just read it.
Well, you can get it for just a few bucks. You can get it with this package plus our big book. Have you seen the truth about what really happened to the Catholic Church?
Do you have it in book form?
The truth about what really happened to the Catholic Church after Vatican II? Yeah, we have in book form, 600-page book, 200 color photographs.
And how much is that?
That comes with the other book, plus our DVDs for only $10.
Do you print all of these on a continual basis? Are they, like, continuously in stock? Because, like, I would like to buy them, but right now I'm in a desperate financial situation.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just, like, buying anything right now is completely out of the question.
Okay.
I see your website, and you have a lot of booklets and pamphlets you could just download and print them for free. Since I work at a library, just print out anything I want for free.
Yeah, you can. But it's much easier if you're going to be studying this to have these hard copies. And these book, I mean, we really jam-packed a lot in there. And it's like a manual, too, so that even if a person is flipping through it, it's broken down by section. So it's easy to follow different sections if you're looking for a particular thing, like the heresies of John Paul II, heresies of Benedict XVI.
You spoke to the organization previously about RI,
about
my questions on him, and you told me that he's basically an apostate or a heretic. Apostate and a heretic or a heretic?
He's primarily a schismatic, secondarily a heretic.
I've been looking into a little bit more of his material, just to see what he's been up to. Would that be recommendable?
I wouldn't recommend it, no, because he's very dangerous for a number of reasons. Number one, that, like I said, he claims to be a prophet while admitting he's a heretic. He admitted that he fell into heresy like 2 or 3 years ago and said he fell outside the Church. Well, he claimed to be a prophet that whole time. Okay, that makes him a false prophet. He claimed to find the other witness of the apocalypse, okay, and posted on his website, "I found the other witness of the apocalypse in Mexico." Okay, so declared that he and this other guy are the, quote, two witnesses of the apocalypse. He's abandoned that guy, okay, he's a false prophet. Now, the reason he's particularly dangerous is because I believe the guy is probably possessed, and so he's very effective in distorting what people say. He consistently uses the straw man argument. Do you know what that is? That's where you attribute to someone a position they don't hold, and then you refute the position they don't hold, and it makes it look like you're refuting their position when the person doesn't even hold that position. Like, for instance, he was writing something about us, and he said that you say that people can go to a Catholic church, and then you say the non-Catholic church. He changes position like 5 different times in a matter of 2 pages.
In one of his sermons, he spoke about the sins of omission,
and
he basically said that you basically hold the belief that a Protestant could go to heaven. And I've researched your website, looked into it, to the point in which I don't see this in your website, so therefore this guy must be lying.
Yeah, he is lying.
When he speaks about, like, let's say, certain Novus Ordo people, he gets this in the state of anger. Like, he's going to jump on them or act violent towards them. And he actually speaks about violence to some extent, that it's good. If you listen to his sermons.
Yeah, which I don't recommend. But I have some other facts about this guy. I could actually go through them if you have a moment.
I don't have much time, but can you go over with them very briefly?
Yeah, let me just see here. Well, he recently stated that he will not be posting any more papal encyclicals until he corrects them. He He's going to edit them and correct them.
Why is he doing that?
Because he thinks he's the super pope. That basically that he can't post a papal encyclical until he edits them. I mean, think about that. He said that St. Thomas Aquinas resurrected the Pelagian heresy. That's a direct quote. He says that St. Robert Bellarmine idolized St. Thomas Aquinas. He also said that St. Alphonsus idolized St. Thomas. He says that canonizations are not infallible, okay, which is basically schismatic. That's to call into question all the solemn canonizations of popes.
Would that be all the solemn canonizations before Vatican II?
Yeah, he's saying that, speaking of true pre-Vatican II popes, their canonizations of saints are not infallible.
What about, what's your position on the post-Vatican II saints?
Well, obviously, that they're not canonized because the post-Vatican II, quote, popes have no authority to canonize anybody.
So then there is no pope, so then therefore there would be no canonization.
Right. That doesn't mean that, like, someone like Padre Pio couldn't be canonized by a true pope. It just means he has not been.
What about, I have the Diary of Sister Faustina, and I read your statement on it. I mean, it's maybe only one or two pages. But do you have any, like, more in-depth things about Sister Faustina?
Basically, Brother Michael went through her diary and pulled out some of the problematic things in it. They're basically simple facts to know that she seemed to promote communion in the hand. Some of the visions strike one as false because they just don't seem like anything our Lord would say to an individual. Her diaries on the Index Forbidden Books prior to Vatican II. I mean, with those things mentioned, the fact that they're problematic statements, it was on the Index Forbidden Books, and you're dealing with a non-canonized person who's claiming a voluminous amount of visions and apparitions and locutions. Whenever you're dealing with that, our Lord usually doesn't say much to people, and Our Lady, and so it's questionable right off the bat, but in addition to all these other problems. So it's not something people should say. It also is basically brought in, we believe, as a substitute of the rosary. Try to, you know, sort of direct people's attention away from the rosary. That's why she's, you know, it's directed to say people. People are directed to say it on the beads of the rosary, which is very strange in itself.
Brother, I'm going to head off now.
Okay.
God bless, brother.
All right, thanks.